Hi, everyone. I'm Felicia Caponigri. I'm the founder of Fashion by Felicia. I'm an attorney by training and an academic by calling, and I research and write on the intersections between law, design, and cultural heritage. Welcome to this podcast, which is centered on fashion's futures, law, design, heritage, and so much more. A number of years ago, I won't say how many, I was walking on Via Tornabuoni in Florence, Italy. Some of you might have visited it, might have shopped or just walked down it to enjoy the view of the Ponte Vecchio at its end. And I passed by Palazzo Spini Ferroni, a historic building which was, for many years, the home of Ferragamo's workshop and corporate headquarters. Today, the building houses Ferragamo's flagship store on the ground level. Some of you might have visited it. And at that time, in one of the flagship's windows, I saw a display for Ferragamo Creations. I looked more closely and I read the print on the labels next to the shoes and the bags on display, and I realized that these accessories were recreations or re-editions. They were contemporary iterations of historic designs imagined and at times even patented in certain parts by Salvatore Ferragamo during his lifetime. While the accessories were in the Ferragamo store and offered for sale under Ferragamo's trademark, they also had a more historic logo on them, dating to Salvatore Ferragamo's early years of production. The historic designs were preserved in Ferragamo's corporate archive and were often displayed as part of exhibits put on in the basement of Palazzo Spini Ferroni, a space devoted to the Ferragamo Museum. So there was a lot going on, it seemed to me, in this one window display and in these products offered for sale. So as I stood in front of the window display, I had a number of questions. What were these products, first of all? Were these fashion accessories or were they something else? They were timely, produced for the present contemporary moment, and yet they were from another era. Were these accessories for sale like art reproductions that I would buy in a museum gift shop? Or were they art themselves, more like the designs we might see displayed at a museum of modern art? And more important than the oft-debated and, I would say, well-worn question, is fashion art? How did this line of accessories come about? Who decided to put this line on the market? And how was it managed in comparison to Ferragamo's other shoes and products that were not re-editions or recreations? There were still some common design aesthetics and recognizable design elements, like the Varabò, for example, which you might also have seen. And so when thinking about the business management of this line, what role did the management of any legal rights have? Fashion brands make much of newness, originality, and trends. But here was a brand copying itself and bringing parts of its past into the present. Were there any legal rights here, especially intellectual property rights, to buttress and support the Ferragamo Creations line? Or was this just an exercise in storytelling that had nothing to do with legal rights and used the market to support what we might call an aura of authenticity? So standing in front of that window display led me on an extended intellectual journey and dialogue, which I'm still on today. And of course, it led me to research and write and to consult great websites and news outlets like The Fashion Law. And it also led me to this podcast. I really wanted to bring together a bunch of different voices in an interdisciplinary conversation to talk about certain keywords that we see in fashion today. Authenticity, especially authenticity that's connected to a fashion archive, so archival authenticity. Iconic, that's a really popular word now. What does it mean? What makes an iconic product? What about the digital? We see the metaverse, we see AI. What's happening with digital fashion heritage? And so much more. So some of you might be wondering, all right, I've heard of fashion, I've heard of law, I've heard of design, but the concept of heritage is relatively new, or at least a complex term that maybe you haven't unpacked yet. So what is heritage, or at least what is heritage as I talk about it in this episode, in this podcast? Each of us has experienced heritage. We've participated in it, and we've even created it. We can think of heritage as that complex of tangible and intangible things which are important to us. because they are part of our culture and a part of our very identities. Sometimes these things are important because they testify to moments in history. They represent an artistic movement, or they otherwise embody the thoughts of a great author. Think of your favorite book, for example. Heritage tells us who we are, where we were, and it also helps us to get where we're going. Heritage can include that recipe passed down from your mother, which is also made by members of your community. I often, of course, think of eggplant parm and my mother's tomato sauce, which comes, of course, with the Italian-American territory. But heritage can also include ways of making accessories that might be part of fashion. The artisanal process to make the pintao hat in Panama, for example, is one example of this intangible cultural heritage. But we can also think of leatherworking and silk production too. And when I say leather making and silk production, you might immediately think of shoes and scarves. So can shoes be a tangible part of heritage? Of course. Consider some of the first platform shoes that are on display in Florence's Palazzo d'Avanzati from the 16th century. Or even maybe historic shoes that you've seen at the Costume Institute, at the Met, or at the Museum at FIT, or at other museums and in other collections in the United States. Like Michelangelo's David, yes, I am comparing fashion to one of the great Renaissance sculptures, these shoes testify to a cultural moment. We preserve them because they tell us something important about our past. But does the fact that shoes can be part of our heritage mean that those Ferragamo shoes I saw as part of the window display all those years ago, the ones that were recreations and re-editions, are part of our heritage? Well, to use a classic legal answer, it depends. And a great part of the answer depends on how we identify which fashion is important to us and why. Unless you think that I'm concentrating on heritage and dusty archives and boring museum collections, we see heritage as being really important now for products that are sold under a trademark, too. Sometimes we refer to this heritage, this brand heritage, the stories and historic facts surrounding a brand, as aura, the aura of the product, or why the product is authentic. And we might even think of connections between aura and goodwill and trademark. So there's also a very future-looking role to this. We also hear about designers that are importing their own heritage into AI to create a future archive, which future designers working for their brand can access. So there's also an overlap between heritage and the digital. So diving more deeply into fashion, law, and heritage, fashion's futures, and how the future of fashion is going to continue to evolve fashion, to apply the law, to think about design, and to incorporate heritage into a number of different legal tools and instruments and marketing campaigns, is exactly what I'm happy to say I'm doing as part of this podcast. So I'm basically throwing a fashion law dinner party. And you're invited. You're at the top of the guest list. I'm inviting fashion curators, fashion theorists, fashion archivists, attorneys working in-house at brands, and attorneys representing fashion brands through their own firms, up-and-coming designers, communication specialists, academics who think of on the frontiers of IP law, and so much more to this conversation. So pour yourself a glass of Prosecco, join the conversation, and welcome to the Fashion Law Dinner Party.